Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our
most precious blood of Jesus, save us. St. John the Baptist, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is, by the way, the ninth anniversary of the priestly ordination of Father Larrabee, if you remember him. He now works out in California with Father Zapp and now with Father Palma, another classmate of mine. And so do remember Father Larrabee in your prayers today. He was, I think he was ordained back in 2008, if I'm not mistaken. Today, by the way, is also First Saturday. Remember that if you wish to make the First Saturdays, you have to make your communion of reparation, offering your Holy Communion in reparation for the offenses committed against Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. You must also recite the five decades of the Rosary, and on top of it, remember your 15 minutes of meditation on the mysteries of the Rosary. And that is distinct from the actual recitation of the Rosary. And the good thing about it, though, is that the sermons on the Saturday, when given on the mysteries of the Rosary, count as part of that 15 minutes. So feel free to use that time to make your meditation as well. But today we have also the Feast of the Precious Blood, and the history of why this feast came to be is a very interesting one. Back in the mid-1800s, Pope Pius IX was exiled from Rome. He lost control of the papal states and was sent into exile. And while he was there in exile, out of Rome, he was with some superior general or something like that of the Order of the Precious Blood of Jesus. And this superior recommended to the Roman pontiff, he said, "You should make a vow to our Lord that if he restore the papal states to you, that you will extend the Feast of the Precious Blood to the whole church." And so it said that the Pope thought about it, because taking a vow, even if you're the Pope, is a very serious thing, one worth considering. In the meantime, the French came over into Italy and fought against the insurgents and won back the papal states. And as soon as the Pope had heard that, he then wrote a letter to the Superior General of the Order of the Precious Blood and says, "The Holy Father does not deem it necessary to bind himself under a vow, but he will, in any case, immediately extend the Feast of the Precious Blood to the whole church." And so really, the feast today is a feast of gratitude. It's a gratitude for restoring the papal states back to Pope Pius IX, calling him back from exile once more. So that's the history. But our Lord, as we consider the precious blood, and we can consider it in all the mysteries of the Passion of our Lord, in the five sorrowful mysteries today, it was not enough for him. He was not satisfied, in other words, with merely becoming an infant, coming down from heaven and being born in a stable and suffering from the piercing cold midnight air. That was not enough for him. His love required more. His love for us required much more. It was not enough for him to endure the persecutions of Herod when all of the holy innocents were put to death for him. And it was not enough for our Lord in his public life to go about preaching the gospel and teaching the people and healing them both of their sicknesses of body and of soul. That was not enough. It was not enough that he should endure the persecution of his own priests who sought to kill him. It was not enough either that he should labor all the day long until he actually experienced fatigue. And then he would stay up the night in prayer to with his heavenly Father. It was not enough. He would have to shed, in order to satisfy the charity of his sacred heart, he would have to shed not even one drop of blood, but every last drop, so that when he died, you know the truth of our faith, there was not a single drop of blood left in our Lord's sacred body, not one. So much did he love us, so much did he spend and give for all of us. It was not enough. Quid retribuam Domino pro omnibus? In other words, what shall we render to the Lord for all that he has done for us? We say those words, the priest says those words right before he takes up the chalice, after he's consumed the sacred host in Holy Communion, and then is about to consume the precious blood. He says, what shall I render to the Lord for all that he has done for me? And then the rubrics tell him, at that moment, he grabs hold of the chalice, and he says, I will take up the chalice of salvation. That's what we do. Yesterday I mentioned how I go to visit a sick person, and all the time, when I ask how she's doing, she says, oh, God has been good to me, Father. I have nothing to complain about. That's her answer every single time. And so also, in gratitude for all that our Lord suffered for us to gain peace between us and his heavenly Father, we should show gratitude too. How do we do that? Calicem salutaris accipiam. I will grab hold of the chalice of salvation. It was Bishop Sheen who made this quote. He said, God hates peace in a man who is destined for war. I always thought that was a really neat quotation. God hates peace in a man who is destined for war. And we're all destined for war. We're soldiers of Jesus Christ in confirmation. We are destined for war. In other words, our whole spiritual life, it's called a combat, the spiritual combat. We're always waging war against the flesh and the world and the devil. We're always fighting. At every moment of every day, there is a fight with ourselves or the world or the devil. We are men of war. We're not meant to be men of peace and just roll over and sort of let the enemy be victorious. That's not how it's meant to be at all. We are meant to be in a war. We can almost picture our Lord, make the analogy with our Lord, as he receives the cross on his shoulder. They say it was some 300 pounds. He was determined to make it to the hill of Calvary. He was determined. Nothing was going to stop him, because nothing could stop the love of the Sacred Heart from helping him to accomplish his task of making peace between God and man. Nothing. He was determined to make it. And they would laugh at him and mock him and throw stones at him. And when he would fall through exhaustion and loss of blood and thirst and hunger, they would beat him and whip him. And he was determined on his own. He was going to get back up on his feet and keep moving. And that he did. And that is how we are meant to be in the spiritual life. We've all got our faults, and our predominant fault that we have to fight against every day. So what do? We can't just roll over and accept defeat, even though we've fallen many times in the past and still continue to fall. We must have a plan of war. What is it? Simple. Let's keep it simple. The first thing is prayer. We need the grace of God. Unless we have the grace of God, we will never win a victory in our spiritual life. Without me, you can do nothing, our Lord says. Prayer is the first thing. And even if you don't really feel what you're saying in the prayer, asking our Lord for help, do it anyway. And try to mean it with every fiber of your heart. So prayer is the first thing, sincere prayer. And the second is determination. That's where most of us fall short. We're just not determined enough that we want to become holy, that we want to become saints. If only we had determination. We've got determination in other aspects of our life where nothing's going to keep us back. But when it comes to the spiritual life, I think that we fall short. And then the third and final one I'll give today is what St. Ignatius, I believe it was St. Ignatius of Loyola, said. We have to pray as if all things depended upon God, but then we have to act as if all things depended upon our efforts alone. So when it comes right down to it and you're in that moment of battle, in a moment of temptation, you must act. You've already prayed, you've been determined, now act, and act valiantly. Most of our battles will be small ones. We think of the little flower and all the, even though she's a great saint, one of the greatest, and certainly the greatest of modern times, most of her battles were small. They were having to deal with the sister who sat behind her in meditation and rattled her beads, or the other sister who had dentures or false teeth, and she'd click them all through the prayer. And it would annoy her so much, she'd break out into a sweat in meditation. Or the sister, when they were doing laundry, who would splash her with all the dirty laundry water. Those were her tests. Those were her battles. And most of the time, that's all the worse ours are going to be. So it's not that hard. But let us remember that it is the precious blood that gives us peace. And it is the power of God's grace that will bring us to peace. But first there's a war. There's a battle to be fought if we wish for holy peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.